Chapter 65. A few weeks later. Mom, I can't believe they're doing this, Priya said into her eyepiece. 30 of us are in jail for creating humans with artificial DNA. For having children, it's our own DNA. Pablo hasn't been able to get them out of jail, and there have been no trials due to them being classified as a threat to the security of the country. The babies are now in foster care. They're regular babies to us. The parents work at good jobs. Nobody must support anyone. Sorry, Pri, be careful. I've been overhearing some frightening conversations. People are talking about how they might need to nip this in the bud. Nip what in the bud? I'm not sure how to explain this, Nisha said. As you know, some people are saying you guys must be stopped from reproducing because you will eventually make the human species go extinct. Even well-respected scientists are saying this might happen. They figure since there's no way to stop you guys from reproducing in a voluntary way, they must sterilize all of you as well as all 1 million babies around the world with your modified DNA. Are you serious? They're the ones who should be sterilized, those incompetents. Calm down, Nisha said as Quinn listened in. You guys need to pay close attention to what's being said about you and who is saying it. Okay, I need to go. Please be careful. This is serious business, and you're only 19. None of you are 21. Maybe you should come home. I'm okay. I'll talk to you later. I love you. They disconnected. Sophie, did you hear that? Priya said. Yeah, we need to do something. Let's talk to Amy. Soon they were connected. Amy, have you heard anything about us lately? Some people are talking about sterilizing us. I was going to contact you guys, Amy said. We had a big discussion in genetics class about transhumanism. The concept has been around for a while. Yeah, we know about it, Priya said. Someday, our species will direct our own evolution instead of allowing the whims of nature to determine our future. The Omanji did it. We've seen some of this happening already with artificial limbs and gene splicing to help cure many ailments. What did your classmates say about this? We had an emotional discussion. The professor said you guys are the start of a great divergence in human evolution that will lead to many new species of human-like descendants. We've reached a fork in the road in human evolution. Some of my classmates like the idea, and some say humans should fight back to preserve the species. Some people got angry and left the lecture hall. Ugh, why are people making such a big deal about us? Priya said. I'm a normal person like anyone else. We're no big deal. Pri, you keep saying that, but you're too close to the situation, Amy said. 2 years ago, we were starting 10th grade. I was a fast study, so now I'm a freshman at Stanford. Normally that's outstanding, but you guys each got your PhD and have already started your own company. Two of the richest people in the world are your friends with several more on the way. You might be one of the richest someday at the rate you're going. Don't you think it's unusual to have all your friends become rich and powerful at such an early age? You don't understand how otherworldly you are. To you, it's no big deal. However, people are freaking out about you guys. Do you think we should be worried about all this talk? Sophie said. Yes, take everything seriously. If young and intelligent university students are worried, I can imagine how older people in power might be terrified. People do unpredictable things when they're scared. If I were you, I'd take action to protect yourself. Thanks, Amy, Priya said. You're the best friend ever. They talked for a while longer and disconnected. Priya and Sophie stared at each other in silence for a while. A great divergence. Us? What should we do? Sophie said. We need to meet now, Priya said. We can't attract attention, so we need to stay here in our office complex. An hour later, Priya and Sophie met in Ian's lab with Warren, Pablo, Raven, and Oyun. Priya stood up first and silently thought to everyone, I've opened this discussion to all 25,000 of us on our Omanji network. We need to keep in touch more than ever now. I've been hearing a lot of talk lately about sterilizations and other ideas. What did you guys hear? Everybody please be audibly silent during this meeting. Warren stood up. I was in Java Nation this morning and I heard some people talking about it. They thought we should be humanely sterilized. How considerate of them, Priya thought. Warren continued. So I browsed around in some chat areas anonymously. People still think a lot of dangerous ideas about us. We've heard it all before. They fear we'll spread diseases, we can read minds, we're going to take over the world, and all that other stuff. The problem is, it's getting worse. The more a falsehood is repeated, the more it's reinforced and believed. I don't get it, Sophie thought. These days, everyone has access to unlimited information. Why don't they understand reality? I think it's because people naturally seek out information which reinforces existing beliefs. It's confirmation bias. In other words, if you think the modified people are conspiring to take over the world, you will seek out other people who believe the same. When everyone surrounding you agrees with you, you think your opinion is fact. Bigger conspiracies have been based on fewer facts than this. But the facts they share are false, Priya thought. If you believe something based on politics or rumor or personal attacks, facts and evidence will not influence your viewpoint, Warren thought. When two firm believers in different religions try to convince each other that their opinion is the right one, they always fail. In our case, people are talking about us with a religious fervor. They use strong words like devil, mutant, evil, unnatural, abomination, etc. What should we do? Priya thought. I'm not sure, Warren thought. We've been marketing and promoting ourselves. I've been on talk shows and discussion panels. We've informed the public about how Ian is curing cancer and how Oyun is bringing inexpensive energy and fresh water to the world. However, the campaign has backfired. People aren't focusing on our contributions to the world. They're worried about how successful we're becoming. They think we're taking over the world and sucking the money out of it for our selfish enrichment. If we're so smart, why can't we figure out what to do? Raven thought. There may be nothing we can do, Oyun thought. When one of my power plants is installed to desalinate water, some people think the water will poison them. And if I don't install the plant, people think I'm trying to kill humanity by letting them die. I can't win. If we can't win, what should we do? Priya thought. I don't want us to be sterilized and who knows what else. We need to passively defend ourselves with an option to use force, if necessary, Warren thought. We have a right to exist. If passive resistance would lead to our extermination, we should resist in some other way to survive. What are you talking about, Warren? Raven said. Should we make weapons? I don't think so. No, I think if passive resistance fails, we should do what the Omanji did. They didn't fight us. They stopped us from doing harm to them. They defended themselves at the minimum level of force required. You're right, Warren, Priya thought. What they did was strictly defensive. They disabled our weapons, and eventually we gave up fighting them. They built their colony in relative peace. The problem is we don't have force fields and other advanced technologies like that. Not yet, Warren replied. However, we can use our network and expertise in AI, data, electronics, genetics, robotics, energy, and other technologies. What should we do first? Priya said. Reproductive prohibition is the first thing they want to impose on us. How can we stop them when the police come for us one at a time when a baby is born? How can we get them out of jail? Legally, we can get them out, Pablo thought. But first we should make the law banning the creation of babies with artificial DNA unconstitutional. How can you do that? Priya said. That law stopped people from doing some potentially disastrous and morally reprehensible human genome experiments. Remember the monkey boy? Technically speaking, our DNA is artificially created. We're an experiment. True, Pablo replied. However, when we reproduce, we aren't conducting experiments. We're having children with our own DNA. We have the right to have families, like anyone else. We have the right to pursue happiness. Okay, what else should we do to defend ourselves? Priya thought. Public reaction won't be logical. What if things get nasty and they try to physically remove us from society? If they try it, we'll defend ourselves more assertively, Warren thought. There will be nobody around to save us, so we need to think about tactical and strategic ways we can defend ourselves. Many of us are AI engineers, Raven thought. We can set things up so if they round us up, we can control things like the power grid, land and space-based communication, banking, transportation systems, the internet, and other networks, and anything else. We can gain access, control of those systems, and remain under the radar until we need them. This is sneaky, Priya thought. We're talking about massive disruptions of everything. Yes, but we need to defend ourselves or we might be living in concentration camps, Warren thought. And we'll only use the minimum force required to defend ourselves. The Omanji had to do it. I suppose you're right, Priya thought. I've studied history, including Omanji history. I know when new things are set into motion, events become unpredictable. However, the writing is on the wall. We might be sterilized or worse. Okay, let's take a vote within our network. Do we take active steps and use the minimum force required to defend ourselves, or do we remain passive? Telepathic silence set in for several minutes as they voted. Okay, the results are in, Priya thought to everyone. I count 21,437 votes in favor of active steps for self-defense and 3,143 in favor of being passive. I count 420 either abstaining or absent. Anyone who wishes to remain passive can do so with no repercussions. For everyone else, let's work on defending ourselves. We should all remain as passive as possible. This is only a reminder. In public, please continue to speak audibly and hide thoughts between us. We don't want to increase the level of paranoia. Also, don't mention this on our social network or in public. Meeting adjourned. They disconnected from the telepathic network. Priya rubbed her hands together and said, "What if they come for us? What if they put us in jail? If they do, I'll..." "It's okay, Pri, we can deal with it," Warren said as he put his hand on her shoulder. "Now get back to work." She smiled at him and put her hand on his. A few months later, it was November. The first storm of the rainy season dumped torrents on the central skylight of Priya's lab. "Priya, come here," Sophie messaged from the lab. "I think we figured something out." She ran downstairs to find out what all the commotion was about. Sophie had splices of DNA displayed in 3D on the big screen. "I think we know the genetic instructions for growing the second axon in each neuron. See here and here? About 50 modifications the Omanji did made us grow second axons." Sophie rotated the 3D model on the screen to show each modification. "Rats have similar locations in their genome," Priya said. "Should we try this on a fertilized egg? I don't think the experiment would cause pain to the animal." "I'm hesitant to try," Sophie said. "Perhaps we can try on one mouse egg." "Okay, let's try it," Priya said. "Hold on, I'm getting a strange message from someone." Sophie waited. "How weird, I'm being invited to speak in front of Congress on the subject of us." "When?" "The day after tomorrow, they told me to be prepared to answer questions about my experience as a transhuman with a capital T."
"Is this what they're calling us now?" Sophie said.
"Yeah, it's the politically correct way to say we're non-human mutants," Priya replied. "I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. They're letting us be attacked." Priya walked home while her agent made airline reservations. The interstate hyperloop hadn't been completed yet. She contacted home. "Mom, I'm going to Washington, D.C. to speak in front of Congress. I can't wait to tell them off."
"Pri, I just heard about it. Be careful. They're considering restrictive legislation against you and your friends. What you say will affect the rest of your long lives."
Priya considered telling Nisha what they were planning to do in their own self-defense. However, she decided against that because then Nisha could truthfully say she knows nothing about any such plans.
"Yeah, I'll be careful, but I'm not going to sit back and let them walk over me," Priya said. "I'll state my opinions." They spoke for a while and disconnected. Afterwards, she slept. Early next morning, hopped the first flight from SFO to Washington, D.C.
"State your name for the record," Senator MacArthur said.
"My name is Priya Chandra."
"Thank you. Now I want to ask you some questions. Do you consider yourself a member of the human species?"
"Of course I do. I was born human and I'm still human. I experience the same emotions, which I've always had. I want to go to work, do a decent job, someday get married and raise a family. Don't you think those are the desires of a normal human being?"
"Thank you, but I'll ask the questions for the sake of brevity," Senator MacArthur said. Priya fell silent, but she was connected with Warren and Sophie via a relay in their silent network. "Now, what did the Omanji do to you and the other transhuman abductees?"
"Why are you labeling us as transhuman? That implies..."
"Please answer the question, Ms. Chandra," Senator MacArthur said. "This guy's a real jerk," Priya thought silently to Warren and Sophie. "Answer the questions, Pri," Warren thought back. "He'll make us look bad if you don't. He's known as a master manipulator."
"To repeat, what did the Omanji do to you and the other transhuman abductees?" Senator MacArthur said.
"The Omanji abducted us and took us to a large sphere in orbit around the moon.
They modified our DNA and implanted a device in our brains so we can communicate telepathically with them and each other that made us more interesting pets. Can you read my mind with your telepathic implant? Senator MacArthur said. This guy's such an idiot, she thought silently to Warren and Sophie. No, sir. I can only read the minds of others who have the implant. Even then, they must volunteer to communicate with me. It's just like speaking. You may think many things, but decide to say only certain things to certain people. Please answer my questions directly. Don't go off topic, Senator MacArthur said. Are you communicating with anyone now?
Say no, Warren and Sophie both thought to her.
No, sir. Senator MacArthur stared at her with obvious suspicion to make others suspicious. Are you sure? Yes, sir. I'm only speaking with you. Was the purpose of the DNA modification to increase your lifespan and intelligence? That's probable, sir. They never told me directly. How intelligent are you? What's your IQ? About 230, I believe. It varies slightly from test to test. Do you know of a naturally unmodified human being with an IQ that high? No, sir. Well, there is that chess prodigy in Uganda with a 240, but I don't feel any differ. Please answer my questions, Ms. Chandra, Senator MacArthur said. Priya thought to Warren and Sophie. Ugh, what a dim-witted arrogant. Shh, answer the questions, Pri, they thought back. How long did you take to complete 3 years of high school, 4 years of undergrad work, a master's degree, and a PhD, Senator MacArthur said. 3 years. That's not a record. Unmodified people have. Ms. Chandra, I'll terminate this interview if you continue to resist my questioning. We're here today to determine if you're human. Don't say it, Warren thought to her. But I am human. He's such a stinking, miserable, Priya thought to them. Focus, Sophie thought to her. He'll cut you off and we'll all be doomed. Ms. Chandra, are you paying attention to me? Senator MacArthur said. Yes, sir. Now, is it true the two wealthiest people in the world are friends of yours? Senator MacArthur said. Two of the wealthiest, yes. What are the odds of that occurring if your genes had not been modified? Priya paused to calculate. I don't know for sure. Let's see. Over 9 billion people live on Earth. The odds of having the wealthiest one of them being my friend would be my current number of friends divided by 9 billion. If I know 10 friends, the odds are about 1 in 900 million that one of them is the wealthiest in the world. To have two of them in my group of friends, the odds would be about 1 in 900 million squared. Other variables like age and demographics must be considered. I'm simplifying this for the sake of... Okay, we get your point, Senator MacArthur said. It's next to impossible. This means your alien genetic modifications have made the impossible happen. In your group of friends, are others poised to dominate their fields of expertise? I don't understand the question, Priya said.
No.
Come on now, you're a smart girl, even though you're young and cute. You know what I mean with that question, Senator MacArthur said. We've been working hard. Some of my friends are making great discoveries, like a cure for cancer. Discovering cures for cancer would make that person one of the wealthiest, correct? Senator MacArthur said. Perhaps, Priya said. It seems like transhumans are going to dominate every field of endeavor within a few years at the rate you're progressing. Is this correct, Ms. Chandra? Senator MacArthur said. I'm not sure, Priya said. It's a possibility, isn't it? Senator MacArthur said. A small one, Priya replied. She gave the senator a stern look. I understand I'm upsetting you with these questions, Ms. Chandra, Senator MacArthur said. I'm not a bad guy. I only want to preserve the human species. Everyone is talking about transhumanism now. The genetic genie is out of the bottle. You are not only a new subspecies of human, but a new species beyond human, don't you agree? No, sir. We can interbreed with unmodified humans. That makes us part of the human species, Priya said. We are, at most, a minor subspecies. Would you want to marry an unmodified human at some point in your future? Senator MacArthur said. He can't ask such a personal question, Priya thought to Warren and Sophie. Be careful here, Warren thought to Priya. It's a trap. I have no preference about my future husband. He might be modified or not. I don't care, Priya said.
You don't care, Senator MacArthur said.
So, in other words, let's say you get married at 30 years of age to an unmodified person around your age. You have kids, which will carry your modified genes. 30 years later,
You and your husband will be 60 and possibly be grandparents. And 30 years later, you'll be great-grandparents.
Yeah, so? Priya replied.
So, you and your husband will be 90. That's the average lifespan now. There's a 50% chance he'll be dead.
Now you're being morbid, Senator, Priya said. No, just realistic.
Now you're going to live to be over 300 healthy years old. You'll be 90 and will physically appear to be 30 to 40 years old by then. Your husband might be dead, or at least be old and in delicate health. Once your husband dies, what will you do? Senator MacArthur said.
Now you're really being morbid, Priya said. I'll cry over his passing, of course.
What will you do after a few years of mourning? Senator MacArthur said. You'll be a young and healthy 90-year-old with over 200 more healthy years of life. Wouldn't you get married again?
I'm not sure. Widows get married all the time, Priya replied. Who will you marry? Another unmodified 30-year-old human that looks your age.
Of course not. He would be a child compared to me, Priya said.
So what then? Would you marry a more mature 60-year-old who will look older than you and be married for 30 more years until he dies? You'll still be young. You would marry repeatedly, right?
I'm not sure, Priya replied. The fact is, Ms. Chandra, if you live to be over 300 years old, unmodified people will come and go in your life, just like our house pets come and go. I'm on my fourth dog now. When you're 180 and still a healthy woman, will you marry a 50 or 60-year-old man who appears to be your same age?
Probably not, but I'm not sure, Priya replied.
This is my point, Ms. Chandra, Senator MacArthur said. You will only marry within your species because they share your 300-year life cycle, and they share your intelligence. A new species evolves when two groups of animals stop reproducing with each other. I looked that up. One reason for speciation is that reproduction is genetically impossible. The other reason is that members of the two groups decide for some reason they don't want to interbreed. In this case, transhumans will rarely want to marry unmodified people, and unmodified people will rarely want to marry transhumans. Senator MacArthur looked around the room at the other senators and congresspeople, who nodded their heads in agreement. A buzz of soft talk traveled across the room.
Ms. Chandra, is it possible you and other transhumans will rarely marry unmodified humans?
Priya sat in silence.
Ms. Chandra, answer the question, please, Senator MacArthur said.
Perhaps, Priya said softly.
This case is decided, Senator MacArthur said. According to the definition of the word species, a new human-related species has emerged. It's an experiment gone wrong which must be corrected.
Please don't take offense, Ms. Chandra. It's not your fault.
I'm not offended, Senator. Short-sightedness could make the human species extinct. Improvements to the human genome are happening now, with or without us. First, it's new organs and cures for diseases. Next, the complete re-engineering of the human species. It's inevitable. The Omanji pushed the timetable up a bit. What are you going to do? Lock up all scientists so the human genome remains unchanged? It could use some help. Most people would love to slow the aging process and still be young at 100. People would like to have the mind of an Einstein or a Mozart, or at least be able to play the piano well. The outmoded species is the one where its members die of agonizing diseases or lose their minds to the aging process.
Thank you, Ms. Chandra, Senator MacArthur said. Your time is up.
Actually, yours is, jerk, Priya thought silently to Sophie and Warren.
What did you say? Senator MacArthur said.
Oh, nothing!
Priya smiled angelically. Thank you for being with us today, Ms. Chandra. I admire your intelligence and spunk. You're cute. You can go now.
Priya sat in her chair for a long time.
Priya, get out of there, Sophie thought to her.
Oh, right, Priya thought back.
She smiled at everyone and walked out of the room.
What do you think? Priya thought to her friends.
You did well, Pri, Warren thought back. But I think we're in trouble. I can tell Senator MacArthur and the rest of them had their minds made up. They're going to do something. I'm going to be prepared for the worst.
What's the worst? Priya thought back.
I'll explain tomorrow when you're back. Pri, would you marry repeatedly? Warren said.
Of course, not silly. That was a theoretical question. The senator asked surprisingly intelligent questions.
if we had to marry unmodified people with 90-year lifespans and we live to be over 300 years old, unmodified people will come and go in and out of our lives like pets. He's right.
Oh, okay. I only wondered, Warren thought to her.
What were you wondering, Warren?
I'll tell you later sometime, maybe tomorrow, okay?
Okay. She flew home later that day,